May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So we are in Lent 3, and this is the third week of our sermon series. If you haven't been to church yet in Lent or haven't been, or you're new to St. Paul's, we're preaching through the whole Sermon on the Mount this Lent, and this is our third week. And what we've seen is that Jesus is going somewhere with this sermon. There is a flow, there is a subtle, brilliant trajectory. And so the whole thing starts with these radical announcements, these Beatitudes. Blessed are you. And long and short of the Beatitudes is Jesus says, look, here's how it all starts. Everybody for whom there's no reason the love and mercy of God should be there for them, God is on your side. God is with you. That's where it all starts. You don't deserve it, but you got it. You can't work for it, you got it. God is on your side. And when you've experienced that kind of love, when you've experienced that kind of transformation at your lowest, most feeling the most worthless, it changes everything. And so, Jesus says, so go out and demonstrate this in the world. Be salt, be light. And then what he does is he says, while you're being salt and light, you're going to find there are things that get in the way of receiving and sharing this love. And so he talks about five different things, negative, destructive things that get in the way: murder, revenge, oaths, adultery. These are going to wreck everything. But then after he goes through those, he pivots and he names three things that are good things that when engaged with a twisted heart or with the wrong motives or with a faulty perception of who this God is in the first place, they can also get in the way of the kind of love and life that this God is looking to pour out on you. And so he talks about giving, he talks about prayer, and he talks about fasting. It's the middle of those three that we read today. We talked about the Lord's Prayer. Jesus gets asked, okay, so when we pray, how do we pray? And he says, I'm gonna tell you, don't pray like the Gentiles do, don't pray like this. When you pray, it's our Father in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, culturally, it's not unusual for a rabbi to give his students a particular prayer. That was actually common practice. Each rabbi had a prayer that was unique to them, and you knew who their student was based on the way that they prayed. So if Drew Edwards studied with Gamaliel, you would know it because he would pray Gamaliel's prayer. You did study with Gamaliel, didn't you? Everybody knows that Drew studied with Gamaliel because I've heard him pray. And profanity aside, it's beautiful to listen to. Barbara's not disagreeing with me right now. So is this prayer essentially Jesus just kind of trademarking his people? Copyright Jesus, 30 CE. You know, and every time we pray it, Jesus gets a royalty. You know, is that like what this is? No, it's not. This prayer is really brilliant. It is equal to the entirety of the Sermon on the Mount, in my estimation. I counted six sermons I want to preach out of this prayer. So settle in. No. I selected one. I chose one thing, but I definitely want this again in the lectionary when it comes up. There are so many beautiful things to explore, and it's really short. It's only 57 Greek words. I mean, you could almost tweet it. But what we're going to focus on today is the way that it concludes, okay? So we know how, we know the prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, kingdom come, will be done, earth it is in heaven, give us our daily bread, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors, do not bring us to the time of trial, rescue us from the evil one. And then Jesus says, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Huh. That doesn't sound very Jesus-y. It's not why I came to church today. What is that? So, aside from the sort of weird transactional nature of it, didn't Jesus already cover an admonition about forgiveness in the prayer itself? He did. He says, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. He's doing forgiveness already. Why does he come back to it at the end? Almost like it is the application of the prayer. If you want to know this God, you want to be about the God that whose prayer this is, forgiveness is key. And it's a kind of forgiveness that if you forgive others, then you're forgiven. But if you don't forgive others, it actually, you're not forgiven. Like, that ties into this prayer somehow. So, first thing about that, the words that Jesus uses, there's two Greek words. The first one is the word he uses for forgiveness. It's the word aphiemi. And the word is broken down. It's got two component parts, apo, which means from, and hiemi, which means to send. So the picture that Jesus gives of forgiveness with this word usage is sending something away, okay? And if we think about it, that's completely what it feels like when someone's wronged us and we have to forgive them. You know, someone wrongs you, it's like they hand you something, you're holding on to something. And then what we start doing is we start dragging it around with us, don't we? And we start carrying it with us and we hold on to it and it follows us. And we, if we forget about it for a while, we bring it back up, we hold on to those wrongs. And what Jesus shows us in the picture is no, forgiveness is when you take that thing that you're dragging around, that's following you around, and you send it away. Go. Get out. It's like kicking your dog out of the kitchen. In our family, it goes like this, out! And I do it a lot. aphiemi, send it away. Now, what's interesting that goes in conjunction with that is the word Jesus uses for sins. The word that Jesus uses for sins is peraptamata. And peraptamata comes also from a couple of component words. The root word in it being pipto, which means slips. Now here's why this is brilliant, okay? There are sins committed against us, offenses, grievances, that are big. Major consequences, huge. You know, she was unfaithful in the marriage. He took the money and ran. You know, these are these big things, utterly destructive, massive consequences. The word Jesus uses is the word slips. It's not always the big ones, but it's also all the little things we do to hurt each other. Right? It's the slips. It's the rolling of the eyes. It's the cold shoulder. It's the passive-aggressive comments. Right? I don't know. I also shamed the choir at 9. I don't know why. I'm more passive-aggressive than you are. So that's what I'm referencing. It's the little half-truths, the gossip. Do you know the slips? Do you know the slips? You carry them around? And they get... We start to amass them over time, don't we? And we keep score about the slips. How many times are you going to leave your ice water glass on the coffee table, right? These kind of things. I'm mostly just confessing my own shortcomings to you right now. Kristen's like, that's you. You leave the water glass. I do. I totally do. So the slips, all these little things. So here's why Jesus is so brilliant. We have the admission to send things away, particularly the slips. And then we get in this admonition this kind of transactional condition, it sounds like. So if you send them away, God will send your stuff away. If you don't, God won't send your stuff away. And you could read the end of this prayer as that kind of transaction, unless Jesus is doing something way more interesting. Unless Jesus is doing something that's like operating at a higher level of consciousness. And if that's true, we would need a metaphor. And if we need a metaphor, then we have to talk about snorkeling. Now, who's ever been snorkeling? I got some hands. Okay, so you know how a snorkel works. Now, I think I didn't use a volunteer at the first service, but at 9 o'clock I had a real eager beaver choir member that helped me, and it was far better. Is there a volunteer that would be willing to come up and help me with the snorkel? Yes, okay. Give him a hand, like he's feeling like he doesn't know. All right. All right, so what's your name? William. Come on up here, William. All right, so William, I want you to know I washed this thoroughly from the last service. It was a youth choir member, so it might be sticky up here, but it's totally clean in the mouth area. All right. So to use a snorkel, right, you have to do what? All right, so put it on for us. Okay, there we go. So he knows how to do it. And so now he has a snorkel, and his mouth is closed, but what's he able to do with the snorkel? He can breathe, right? So he can get air into his lungs, right? What else does a snorkel allow him to do besides breathe air in? He can also breathe air out. Because you have to do both, right? There's no life in him if he's just breathing in and holding his breath, right? You would pass out. You would die, right? It really does look like you're on like a ICU oxygen thing. Okay, so this is kind of how this snorkel works. William is able to breathe in, and he has air going into his lungs, sustaining him, but equally important, once that air cycles through, he's able to breathe it out, okay? Now, if, for example, there was a crazy preacher that's like, I have a great idea. What we should do is take a piece of tape and cover, and can you breathe through your nose right now? All right, if I was to take this tape and cover the top of the snorkel, what happens? You totally, okay. So you get the, don't pass out, okay, if we're doing it. Right. So you cover the top of the snorkel, he can't get air in, can he? But what else can't he do? He can't get air out. And he's gotta have both in order to live, right? For his insides to survive, he's gotta be able to breathe in and breathe out. William, take a bow, you are amazing. Do you really? Do you snorkel? Okay. It's good? On the weekends. Somebody told, like in the Yadkin River, or like you go somewhere? Okay, so somebody told me when you're snorkeling, it's harder when the water is rough that you take on. Do you take on more water when it's rough? Like the water's rough, you have to like swim harder? Yeah. This metaphor goes a long way. Here's what I think Jesus is doing. The part of you, the center of yourself, like your heart, your soul, whatever you want to call it, that receives love, that receives grace, that receives mercy from God, that mercy, grace, and love flow through the same pipe that you send grace, mercy, and love out to other people. Like the snorkel, it comes in and it goes out the same pipe, okay? So what happens is, if we decide not to forgive somebody, we've capped the snorkel. If we decide not to send love and grace out, Gus has wronged me, and you know what? I don't know if you saw it or not, but I hate this guy now, and I decide I'm gonna cap the snorkel, okay? Well, that's fine. I've decided not to send any more grace and love out to Gus, but guess what? I also can't get into me. Any grace, any love, any forgiveness. I'm cutting myself off. If we crimp that snorkel, if we cover it, we cut ourselves off from the love that God wants to send us because we've stopped sending it out ourselves. That's how it works. That's how the human person works. Love flows in and out the same pipe. What we want to do is split it. What we want to do, especially church people like us, we want to say, look, I hate that guy, right? And we all do. No, I'm mad at him. Did you see what he did? I hate the guy, but me and God were great, right? And what Jesus is saying is, you can't split it. It's not about me and Gus and me and God. It's about me and Gus and God, and all of them are interrelated. You cannot separate them because they all go together. And when Jesus says, if you forgive others, you'll receive it. If you don't, you won't. He's telling us you can't crimp the snorkel or the peace and the hope and the love that you're looking for, that you're trying to get, that you're probably protecting yourself with bitterness to try to achieve. You'll never find it unless you start giving it away first. Are you with me? So the question Is there anybody you need to forgive? Is there a slip that you've been keeping track of and carrying around with you for a lot of years? You've been keeping score? Is something that she did, something he did? Is there something that you need to send away? Is there something that's been following you and it's time today to stop crimping that snorkel and to let forgiveness flow so you can receive it back? You know bitterness is toxic. When you meet people that are, you know people, I know everybody knows somebody that's bitter, and you may be in that, a season of that yourself. It's because we're resentful, because we don't forgive, right? And so we end, the bitter people are unhappy because they cut themselves off. That's what we do. Is there anything you need to send away? Is there anything you need to get rid of so you can receive peace, grace, hope, love? It's all here for you. It's all in the prayer. So here's the invitation. We are going to pray this prayer during communion. We're going to stop everything. All of us are going to pray it. James is going to lead it. We're going to do it. I want to invite you, when we pray the Lord's Prayer at communion, to hold up anything you need to send away as a start. And remember, forgiveness is different than consequences. It's not the same as saying it's okay. Forgiveness is not the same thing as legal ramifications. It's not the same as reconciliation. Forgiveness is something you do. Sending it away is just something you do, irrespective of what anybody else does. We've covered this ground before. When we pray that prayer, hold up whatever it is that you need to send away and let it go. And I pray that Jesus will meet you there, and that the love and the grace, even if it's a trickle that you open yourself up to extend, God will flood you with grace and mercy in response. In the name of the strong name of Jesus, amen.